Are we there? Hello? Can you hear me? Yeah? I'm certainly glad to be here this morning to hear our brother speak to us. I know that Adam has certainly taken this responsibility seriously over the last several years, and I appreciate his effort. I appreciate his words, and I find it a truth that no matter who stands here behind the pulpit, whether they be a young minister or an old guy, there's always something I can gain from those words if I put my heart upon it. So I do desire that you would give your attention, your prayers. I know Adam worked late last night, so offer up a prayer on his behalf and in your own behalf that you might receive the Lord's word today through our brother and assistant pastor, Adam Yates.
Didn't want to have a car accident while you're trying to exit the stage here. I want to tell you all that I am glad to be here this morning. I've set out something here on the pulpit, and your job is to figure out how that applies to my sermon. I want to welcome all of you who are live streaming. I know we have a lot of people who are sick this morning, and I want to extend the thought that we're praying for you, and our hope is that you'll be able to meet together with us again here soon. Today is a good day. Not only do we have an opportunity to be in the house of the Lord, but in Golden Valley today, we've got two soon-to-be new members going to be baptized today. It's a good day. I'm thankful for an opportunity to be here. I'll tell you, I did work late last night. I had to work at the football game. I was up on a rooftop all night, and I'm wearing my jacket because I'm still cold. This whole week, we've had several games in the last couple of weeks, and they're all cold. And doesn't matter how much clothing I bring up to where I'm at, I'm just freezing cold. So I'm still got a chill today. I'm grateful for an opportunity to be here to bear a sermon that's been on my thoughts for probably a couple of weeks now. And you know, I found in the 7 or 8 years that I've been a minister now, that if I bring forth a message, if there's something that's on my heart that's not applicable to me, then it's not anything that I should share, and it's not anything that I should spend my time studying. I find that the most important message that I can bring is one that I need to work on myself. And so in that is really what I'm going to focus on today. As I bear this message, I know the Lord put it on my heart. I've been thinking about it, praying about it, considering it, and I know that in a lot of ways the Lord was asking me this very question. And so what I want to begin with is I want to, you know, here we are. I'm not the first sermon of the year, but, you know, oftentimes when we come to, you know, it's January and the minister stands up and preaches, you know, we hear everybody talking about resolutions. And it may go from one extreme of someone saying, I hate making resolutions, they're ridiculous, to someone saying it's important. You know, I want us to understand that the act of making a resolution, you know, it really is essential to Christianity. It is a part of repentance. When we commit a sin, we come before the Lord, we ask for that forgiveness, we resolve to make a change in our life. And so if we're opposed to making resolutions, you're really opposed to that basic tenet of Christianity. See, because to make a resolution, you know, the definition of it is it's a fixed purpose or determination of mind. Whereas when I, you know, when I sin and I ask the Lord for forgiveness, I resolve my fixed purpose and determination of mind that whatever that struggle is, I will, with all my energy of heart, seek to change and not to do that again. And so I want us to think about that in the, you know, There's two real words or maybe concepts that I want us to think about today. And this thought of resolving to do something, making a resolution, is something I want you to think about. So I'm the kind of person who I feel like it's very important to set goals. it's important that we have something to strive towards, whatever it is. You know, I think about that, that part of this act of making a resolution, the reason why we have to resolve to do it, to make a purpose of mind or determination, because it's oftentimes something that's not easy. And I think about Laura, who she stood and bore a testimony a couple weeks ago. She's training to go on to run a marathon. And she's resolved to herself this fixed purpose, determination of mind, that she's going to get up and she's going to go run. And she bore a testimony that it was, she, her alarm went off super early. It was cold outside. It was dark. She didn't feel like going out on a run because it was cold and dark, and she didn't really necessarily know the path she was going to run, although she researched it, and she didn't feel like it. But she had resolved to herself that she was going to do it. And I want us to consider that today in the context of what I want to preach here. And I want us to consider this fact. And I want you to turn, if you would, a very quick scripture in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter. And it's just the 18th verse. But this is one that's worth putting a mark by or underlining it, because this is such an important thing to our spiritual life. Here in Proverbs, the 29th chapter, the 18th verse says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." If we're not in the attitude and the mindset within our life physically of making goals and striving to accomplish those things, spiritually, making goals and striving to accomplish it, then we are going to fail. We're going to perish. You know, as a husband, as a father, I have to have a vision. I have to be looking ahead. And that may be setting goals for my family. You know, we're going to put aside X amount of money every paycheck. We want to pay off our bills. I want to get my house paid off, whatever that goal might be. It may be that I see some sort of an issue within my family and I have some vision and I say, well, we're going to make a change here. But whatever it is, you know, and if it's in my life, if there's something I want to accomplish, you know, right now in my life, like this week, yesterday would have been five days. This week, you know, and every day my schedule was different. I got about 4 or 5 hours of sleep every night. My hours are changing. I've got to find something different. I've got to get in a different shift or something. And so I have to look forward with some sort of goal in mind. And for me, that goal is that I'm putting my heart to asking the Lord, "What now, Lord? What do you have for me? Where do you want me to go?" And that means that, you know, in order to accomplish that goal, that vision that I have, I'm going to have to dedicate time to fasting and prayer. I'm going to have to dedicate time to looking at where I might need to change within myself. If there's another opportunity at my work, you know, do I need to do something to maneuver my way to be able to accomplish that if it's the Lord's will? There's all these things that we need to consider. And so I don't want us to be averse to that word of resolution. It's an active part of our life, and it should be. And we should be setting goals with the intention of trying with our every effort to accomplish those things. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes where says, you know, that if, and I paraphrase, says, you know, if you make a commitment to the Lord, he says, do not defer in doing it. Don't let it pass. Don't say, well, I just can't do it and give up. Make that effort. Set that goal. If you seek to do something for the Lord, follow through. Make those efforts. You know what? Here's what I want to preach about today. I want you to turn to Isaiah in the 6th chapter. And this is the thought that's been on my heart. The thought that's been on my heart and something that I resolve, making a resolution this year. My determination of mind is going to be to do this. In the 6th chapter of Isaiah, in the 8th verse, hear this vision that Isaiah had, that he saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and there was all these things that he witnessed, the angels that were next to him, and you know, he looked upon himself and he thought, I'm a man, I'm unclean, I'm undone, and you know, the angel took a piece of coal and touched his lips, and And it says that your iniquities take it away. But then the Lord asks this question. Verse 8, it says, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. This is the thought that's been on my heart, is for myself. You know, am I that willing servant of the Lord? I've tried in my life, and you know, this is what I resolve to do, is, you know, if there's something to be done, here am I, send me. I may not be the best person for the job. There may be someone who's more fit for it, but I'm more than willing to be of service to the Lord. My resolution this year is that I will be willing to do what the Lord wants me to do. It's going to be the determination of my mind. If He wants me to speak, I'm willing to speak. If He wants me to be quiet, well, that's tough. But I'm willing to be quiet. If He wants me to go somewhere, I'm willing to go. There's a job that needs to be done. Here am I. Send me. I feel like this is something that if we want to be successful in our life, if we want to be continue to have a strong and a working local, you know, this needs to be the attitude that we have. Here am I. Send me. We see a struggle, you know, recognize a problem with one of our loved ones, you know, I'm ready, Lord, I'm willing. Can I say something? Is there something I can do? Here I am. Send me. I want us to consider these things, this attitude of willingness in our life. You know, I've got not a lot of scriptures today. I don't intend on keeping us a long time. But I want to consider a couple of things. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about as I was praying about this, and, you know, the Lord was kind of working these thoughts in my mind, as I think about, you know, Peter. And we look in the Scriptures and we read about Peter, and, you know, if we can probably find ourselves a little bit, I don't know the best way to say it, laughing at Peter or thinking a little, you know, here Peter is he's this man, and we see him throughout the time of his spending time, you know, as Christ was here on earth. And you look at Peter and it's like, man, that guy just messes up all the time. He's always messing up. You know, Peter, he's there with the Lord, and he sees this transfiguration up on the mountain, and he's so touched by it, he says, Let's make a temple. Let's build a temple here for Moses and for you and all these things, you know. And the Lord's like, what are you thinking? And you're like, man, that dummy Peter. You know, here Peter is out there and the Lord comes walking on the water, and Peter's like, let me walk to you. And he gets out and he goes to walk, and what does he do? He starts sinking, and you're like, little faith, knucklehead Peter. And, you know, here Peter, the Lord's telling him that I'm going to be taken, and Peter says, never going to happen. I'm not going to let it happen. You know what? I'm willing to stay with you forever, to go to even to prison with you. And then we see that Peter, you know, he goes and he denies Christ. We think, man, what a knucklehead Peter. I love the story of Peter because I think it's the story of me in a lot of ways, although I wouldn't say that I have such a close relationship to the Lord. But one thing that I look at as I look at this example of the man Peter is someone who was always willing. He was willing. You know, we see that in the Scriptures, you know, I guess I didn't write it down, but you know, Peter says to the Lord, he says, you know, I'm willing to go with you to prison and even unto death. And, you know, there they were in the garden, and the soldiers took them, and it says that they all fled. But Peter followed them. Peter followed as they took the Lord, you know, and his desire was to be there, and he wanted to be there for the Lord. You know, he was willing. He failed. But what an example for us, you know, that we'd be willing. We'd be willing to serve the Lord and endeavor to do the things of the Lord. And I'm not standing up here saying that you know, everything's fine if you go and you make an effort and you fail all the time. You know, we should be striving for that higher level spiritually, but, you know, we got to be willing. We have to be willing to do what the Lord wants us to do, even though it's difficult, you know. And I think sometimes we struggle. We struggle in that. But I want us to consider a couple of things. I wrote down a bunch of scriptures here on the side of my paper, but I don't know that I'm going to read them all. But, you know, If we look in the book of Leviticus, for instance, you know, as the Lord is speaking to Moses and he's giving him all of these laws, and he's telling him, you know, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're not going to do, this is what you're going to do, and you're not going to do it this way, and you're going to do it this way. You know, he talks about all these offerings. You know, in the first chapter, in the third verse, he talks about the burnt sacrifice. The 19th chapter, the fifth verse, talks about a peace offering. The 22nd chapter, the 19th verse, the sin offering. The 22nd chapter, the 29th verse, an offering of thanksgiving. And all these things, the Lord is giving commandments on how you do these things, and it's something that you should do. But he makes this statement before everyone. He says, it's given with your free will. You give those things of your own will. Not being pushed, not being forced, not because I said it or else, but because you have a desire to accomplish and to praise, to thank, to ask for forgiveness out of a willing heart. And, you know, I think about it. You know, the other day we had some friends over to our house, and one of my sons popped one of our guest's sons in the mouth. And you know, I asked him, just say you're sorry. And boy, he didn't want to do it. And it took some stern words from me before he was willing to offer up that apology. But you know, it wasn't willing. It wasn't willing. He said it, but it didn't come from his heart. He wasn't willing. And of course, he's just a kid. But you know, is that us sometimes? Are there times that we do the things the Lord asks us to, but it's not with that willing heart? And so I would challenge us this year that we resolve ourselves, that in the aspects, the things of the gospel, that we look within ourselves and we look to do it with a willing and a ready heart and mind. I want you to turn to Mosiah in the 9th chapter, page 259. Most of us could recite these verses from memory. But I want to read here verse 38 to 41, Mosiah chapter 9. And it says this, "And it came to pass that he said unto them," and this is Alma as the people are gathered together at the waters of Mormon. It says, "Here are the waters of Mormon, for thus they were called. And now as your desire is to come into the fold of God and to be called his people, are willing to bear one another's burdens that they may be light, are willing to mourn with those that mourn, comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times, in all things, in all places that you may be in, even until death, that you might be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that you may have eternal life. I say unto you, if this is the desire of your hearts, then what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord? As a witness before him that you've entered into a covenant with him, that you will serve him and keep his commandments, that he may pour out his spirit more abundantly upon you." You know, we know this scripture, we read it. Anyone who seeks to be baptized, you know, we read this and we ask them this. Is this something? Do you believe these things? But you know, I here the word is, he says, you know, are you willing? If you're willing to, he says, if that's the desire, then you should. Then you should do something. You know, there's so often that really we say empty words. Yeah, I'd do that. We never take any action on it. But here, you know, Alma, as he's speaking to these people and he's giving them this counsel from the Lord, he says, you know, if this is really where your heart is, if your heart is to serve the Lord, if your heart is to be united one with another, then be willing to do something. Then be willing to step out. You know, he doesn't, you know, we read these particular scriptures and these are not easy things that he's asking these people and that every one of us who's been baptized committed to. It's not easy to bear one another's burdens because, you know, I've got my own. But we should be willing, ready, desirous to be of strength to each other. And so I'd ask you this year, can you resolve to bear each other's burdens? It says to mourn with those that mourn. You know, when we see those people who are having struggles and difficulties, can we be willing to be there with them in those times? Give comfort. Here's the tough one. Are we willing to stand as witnesses of God at all times and all things and all places you may be in? Man, I have such a hard time doing that. couple guys I work with who are Christians, and it's really easy for us to talk about good things. But, you know, I found myself lately when some of these guys start talking about things that I know is inappropriate, rather than speak up for the Lord, I walk away. And I wonder here, am I fulfilling this promise I made to the Lord? Am I willing to be a witness of God at all times, in all things, in any place I might be? That's probably the hardest thing that the Lord asked me to resolve to do this year, to be willing to be a witness. And so I'm gonna ask us to consider this year. Are you willing to make an effort, a fixed determination of mind, to be more involved in this aspect, to look at each other and be willing to strengthen each other, even though we all have troubles, we all have difficulties, to find opportunity to speak for the Lord? You know, this if this is the desire of our hearts, we have to take action upon it. And it's difficult. You know, I think about it, and there's a guy that I work with on our SWAT team, and he's this big, he's a bodybuilder, big muscle-bound guy, you know, everything. And this guy is scared to death of heights, absolutely frightened to death. A couple years ago, we had to fly back to Alabama for some training, and the whole plane flight, you know, he's this big, giant guy, and he's got a hold of the armrest on that so tight. The whole flight, his arm's shaking like this because he's not going to let it go, and his knuckles are white. And it was awesome because we hit some turbulence. And it was so funny. And we're videotaping Jack, you know, as he's freaking out and he's sweating, pouring sweat and all that, you know. We had a day not too long ago where we were doing rappelling. And so we're going over 100-foot, 150-foot towers and things. And, you know, I was interested to watch Jack. And so he goes and he gets online and I've got my camera out. You know, my phone, I'm filming him because if he freaks out, I want to make fun of him later. And because the last time we did it, he'd get to the edge and he'd be holding on so tight and we would have to hit his hands to let go. Let go, Jack. And this time, you know, he got up and he just jumped right off. And I asked him about it. And he says, you know, I said, you know, Jack, what happened? Are you over your fear of heights? No. Terrified. He said, I didn't sleep last night. He said, I thought about having my wife call in sick for me. But he says, you know, I just said I was just going to do it. I was just going to do it. I think about that. You know, when I was younger, we used to go up to the Verde River. And below the Horseshoe Dam, we'd drive back a roadway back in there. And the river would come down and it'd make a hard 90-degree turn. And right there was a cliff. And we would go up there and we would climb up this cliff and we would jump off. And, you get to that highest spot that we would jump, and you know, you get there all determined to go, and sometimes you would get to the edge, and then you're not quite certain anymore. And you know, the best thing that we could do is just do it. You just jump off. And you know, I think about that a lot of times with the gospel, with doing the things the Lord asks us to. Our human mind is more than willing to talk us out of things. Our human mind is more than willing to talk us out of doing the things the Lord wants us to do. Acting in faith oftentimes goes against what our mind says is logical or reasonable. But if we have experienced the Lord, if we have experienced His working in there, and if He's assured us that He's going to be with us, you know, we should just be like Jack, we're just willing to jump off. Even though he was nervous and wanted his wife to call in sick for him and all that stuff. You know, this is really what we ought to be willing to do. And so I would ask you this year that, you know, join me in this. Let's resolve to look at some of these aspects of the gospel that, yeah, we know, but we're kind of uncomfortable. It's difficult. And we become willing. That when the Lord says, who's willing to go with me? We say, here am I. I'm your man. I'm the one who's willing to do it. And, you know, and I confess, you know, I'm not good at a lot of things, but you know, I want to be able to accomplish what the Lord wants, and I'm willing to do it. And I resolved this year that that's the direction I'm going to go. I got a couple of examples here, you know, that I've written down. You know, in the book of Acts, we see that Stephen was there, and you know, he was preaching, and he was taken by that group of people, and you know, there had already been some some issues that had come up within the church, you know, where they were telling these men of God, you know, you don't preach, don't do it. And here he was taken and he was thrown before a council, all these people, and you know, he was more than willing to stand and bear that light for the Lord. It didn't matter, and ultimately it led to his death. I look at the sons of Mosiah, you know, and here, after years of them going about seeking to destroy the church, you know, the Lord sends an angel, and there's this miraculous change in their hearts. And from that point on, their entire life was dedicated to the service of the Lord. And if we were to read in Alma in the 21st chapter, in the 12th chapter, you know, it talks about the things that happened to these men. You know, that they knew where they were going, that they were going to go and preach the gospel to a group of people who needed to hear it, but they recognized that they were going to be in peril while they did it. And it says that, you know, that they were starved and they were thrown into prisons, you know, and there was a time where they came together again, you know, and it says that, you know, one of the brothers there, he looked and he saw, and he was sad because they were so obviously mistreated, cut up and sores and starved and all those things. And yet, they counted it joy that they were able to serve the Lord in that. You know, I consider that, you know, what is it to be willing? And here I'm afraid to tell some guy who I know is my friend, hey, you know what, we probably shouldn't talk like that. And yet, so many are willing and have been willing to do so much more. So let's think about that as we enter into this year, as we consider these things. Would you turn to Romans in the 12th chapter? Yet again, a super familiar verse, two verses, verse 1 and 2. We hear this scripture all the time. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I consider this particular scripture, and there's a couple things that I think about that. You know, that a sacrifice really considers itself to have no will. In the Old Testament, that sacrifice was an animal that you would throw a rope around its neck, and it didn't matter if it didn't want to go or not. Get enough people, you can pull an animal anywhere. Christ, he was that sacrifice, and you know, he said, you know, it's out of my hands, Father. Whatever you want. And here Paul says that we're supposed to be that living sacrifice, to where we are completely in the possession of someone else, of the Father. I have this word reasonable underlined in my scripture. And I think about reasonable, you know, and reasonable to me is okay. You know, I'm going to get all these gas stations around here, and, you know, if I go over here to Quick Trip, it's going to be a little bit more expensive. If I go all the way over to Fry's, you know, I can use some of our points on there and I can get a really good deal. But I can go over here to Valero, and that's a reasonable price. It's not the best. You know, the Lord's telling us here that what is reasonable, it's that our entire life is dedicated to be used by Him and be willing to be used by Him. And we ought to consider that in our life. Are we that sacrifice for the Lord, you know? I'm not so often. But I hope to be more so as I go from this moment on and continue on in my life, that I'm looking to be that particular sacrifice for the Lord. See where I want to go here. Let's go to Matthew. You know what? We won't read that. Turn to Romans in the 8th chapter, and I'll just say this, that, you know, that we look at the account of Christ as he goes to the garden to pray, and he invites the disciples to come with him, and he asks a few of them to come a little farther with him, and he asks them to kneel down and pray. And, you know, I have no clue like what was going on at that time. I'm sure it was a time of kind of some turmoil, a lot of things that they had to get ready, and you know, we read that account of them like in the 26th chapter of Matthew, and you know, Christ, he went a little ways off to pray and to come back and they're asleep. And I mean, he makes a statement about how, you know, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, and I think that as I preach this sermon, you know, and as I share this, that there's probably none of you who are saying, ah, I'm not willing to do any of that. But we have a struggle within our flesh. Is that you know, just like jumping over that wall or jumping off that cliff into that river, you know, our body, our mind is telling us, ah, hang on a second. This is going to be too difficult. This is going to be too painful. It's never going to work. They're not going to hear me. They're not going to care. You know, I can't accomplish that. And that's the flesh. That's our humanity that's within us. And so in Romans in the 8th chapter, verses 5 through 9, you know, I just want to think of these things here for a second. It says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You know, if our entire life is tied to this dumb cell phone that I carry around, or what's going on when I, you know, in the magazines when I go through the checkout, you know, or who's going to win the next $1.6 billion lottery. You know, if that's what my life is about, I'm never going to be able to accomplish the things that the Lord wants me to accomplish. You know, I can spend, even to the day I die, working for the Glendale Police Department and make, you know, 10,000 arrests and do all sort of stuff. You know, when I die, there's still going to be crime. There's going to be someone else. There's always going to be something. You know, we can labor forever on the things of this world and really never accomplish anything. And we need to consider this. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And you know, that is really the truth. Is that it doesn't matter what's going on in our life, that if we have that relationship, that connection, that place with the Lord, that we can find peace, that we can find strength wherever we are. This morning, a couple of us were meeting here, and we were talking about the lottery. You know, these people who split $1.6 billion. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, you look at, and there was all sorts of stories leading up to this, you know, record-breaking jackpot. You know, of all of these people, who all the money that they could ever consider absolutely ruined their life. And, you know, Andy mentioned something. He says, you know, I never win the lottery. He says, I feel like it's everything I can do just to make it all the bills that I have. And he says, but yet I have enough. And I don't consider that I'll ever be rich in my life. But, you know, I've never wanted anything. And I believe that that's the reward, for lack of a better word, that the Lord gives to those who spend some time endeavoring to be spiritually minded. And not that I'm the most spiritually minded person. I struggle all the time, but the Lord blesses us and rewards us. Because the carnal mind, verse 7, is enmity against God. It's separation. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If it so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. And so if we have that Spirit of God within us, and if we're doing those things to strengthen it, that bond, that relationship that we have with the Lord where He's leading us and directing us, you know, all these things that are going on in life, they have no effect on us. We don't have to struggle in those things. So consider that this year, that as you consider what we're going to do, that you be willing to have the Lord help you be more spiritually minded. And how do you do that? You know, we do it through our prayer life. We do it through our study life. You know, I'm one of those guys who I retain information. And so I've read the Bible 2 times, a lot of sections, the New Testament or something, several times, the Book of Mormon a handful of times. You know, I retain that a lot. And so consequently, I find myself not reading my scriptures as often as I should. And I recognize that I'm missing out when I do that. Because every time I delve into the scriptures, there's something else that I find. The Lord builds upon what I've read and what I understand, and He shows me greater things and a better understanding and refines my life. And so consider that, you know, your prayer life. Be willing to spend more time before the Lord in prayer. Struggle with that so that we can be able to accomplish what the Lord hopes for us to accomplish. I want us to turn to Hebrews in the 10th chapter, and I have 3 things that I want to encourage us to, I guess, four things that I want to encourage us to be willing to do this year, to make it something that we're going to be more determined to accomplish this year. We had a men's breakfast yesterday, and I shared something that is one of my goals for this year. It's been a goal that I've had for several years. Brother Jim and Gary and I, you know, for the past 4 years when Jim was pastor and we were assistant pastors, this was one of our goals. And I want to encourage us. You know, we talked about this at great length. Many men yesterday in our men's breakfast talked about this. And I want us to be willing to do this. Hebrews chapter 10, I want to read verses 24 and 25. Says this, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." I like the way this scripture is worded because to me, the words here mean a lot to me. As a little brother, I've always, throughout my childhood and even today, I like to provoke my sister. I enjoy it. It's fun to get a rise out of her. And she's making a really mean face right now. But she knows it, you know, and it's only fun when she reacts. But I can provoke her to something. And, you know, I intentionally do things to prompt a response. So maybe I need to resolve to do better at that, Alicia. I'm sorry. I'm willing to give it a shot. But here, the writer says, let's consider each other and let's provoke to love and good works. Let's find ways to encourage each other to grow in love, and to do those good things. And it says, verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." You know, anybody, unless you are completely hiding under a rock, you have to see what's going on in our world today. And, you know, Jay talked about it this morning. You know, this may very well be the year of Jubilee. And there may be all sorts of stuff that's going to happen in this world. And, you know, one of those things, I can't forget a sermon that a message that was brought, you know, inspired fully by the Lord that came through Brother Jay one time. He talked about it, that, you know, that every aspect of the gospel is about being together. It's about being together. Christ calls us together. And I want to encourage us this year that you resolve to be willing to meet together. To be together. Brother Dan said yesterday, he said, my goal this year is anytime there is something going on here, I will be there. I consider something like, when we're done with this, we're going to sit down and eat potluck. We're going to have a meal together. You know, scientific fact, families that eat meals together are stronger. Proven over and over again. I want us to resolve to be together this year. To consider it, you know, we're members one of another. And if we're not around each other, if we don't have close relationships with each other, how do we know when someone's struggling? We promised, and we read it in the Book of Mormon, that we were going to bear one another's burdens. We were willing to do it. And how do we do that if we're not stronger in our relationship with each other? And so I hope that you become willing. You know, willing. I understand it. You know, one of the brothers said yesterday, he says, I don't really like to be around crowds of people. I'm okay being by myself. And to an extent, I know what that's like. Sometimes I just don't feel it. But I have more kinship with the people in this room than I have with anybody else in this world. I have nothing without this church. I don't have friends outside of this gospel. Guys I work with, and I've said this numerous times, and I will say it till the day I die, that I spend hours and hours every week and year, and we risk our lives together and we share all these things together, and not a one of them is as close as the people in this room to me. And I could leave those relationships in a heartbeat and never feel sorrow, but if one of you weren't in my life, I would feel sorrow. As we see the day approaching, the dangers, the troubles of this world, how important it is that we are together more often, that our children grow up close to each other. Don McIndoe said yesterday, you know, he's talking about years and years ago when the Phoenix Local was just a tiny little thing. He said, you know, here they were having some sort of an activity together, and they were doing some sort of thing where they were guessing who someone was, one of the mothers was. They were putting their hand out of a sheet, you know, and just by looking at the hand, all the kids had to guess whose mother that was. And they were looking at a hand, and my grandpa said, that's Aunt Louise. And it was Don's mother. And Don says, you know, and she's not his aunt. But that was the relationship that they had. And so I hope that we resolve together to this year to be willing. Even though it's difficult, there's always other things that we have to do. None of us have a life that's not busy. But that when we have opportunity to be together, that we take advantage of that and we strengthen one another and that you provoke each other to love and to good works. And every once in a while to irritate your sister, because that's always fun. And consider these things, the importance of that. If you turn over to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, I want to give you something else that the Lord put on my heart. And again, for myself, put on my heart. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 11. It says, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son? Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You know, I've been listening to sermons lately, and you know, it seems like all these sermons and stuff, it's like the Lord is beating me over the head, and he's chastising me. And every time I feel that conviction of the Spirit, you know, when the Lord is when I read the Scriptures or through a message that's brought over the pulpit, or when a brother comes to me, you know, I had a brother come to me a couple weeks ago and said, Adam, what's going on with you? Something's wrong. And I'll confess to you guys, I'm exhausted. My schedule is just, I'm exhausted, and it's causing a struggle for me in my life. And you know, this brother told me, he says, well, are you praying about it? And he chastened me. And I had a choice at that moment that I could either say, well, yeah, brother, you don't know what you're talking about. Or I could be willing to hear the correction from a loved one under the influence of the Father. And so I would encourage you this year that as we have opportunity to sit here and listen to some guy stand up here and talk, that you look for where the Lord is directing them to speak something to you. And that you don't be frustrated by it, you don't be upset by it, but understand that the Lord who loves us, he's looking to refine us, to better us, to strengthen us. If we have questions in life, he wants to answer them. But maybe we're not ready to hear until he gets through something, peels off the layers of hardness from us. And he desires to speak to us if only we would listen. And so be willing. It's difficult. Hard to stay awake sometimes. It's hard to put away the things, everything that you got going on in life sometimes. But we come and we believe in a Father who's willing to speak to us. Give him opportunity. Give him opportunity to speak to you and to direct you. I want to read another thing here in 3 Nephi in the 5th chapter. This is for me. I resolve to do this year, and it's difficult, but I'm willing. I'm willing to do it. Page 637. 3 Nephi chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 70 through 72. Christ says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment, and whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou shalt come unto me, or shalt desire to come unto me, and remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother. Then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. And in the New Testament, you know, we find that the Lord gives some direction about that as well. And he says, you know, this says if you know that your brother's offended, that you've done something that's bothered them, that you go to him. And in the New Testament, Christ says, if you know that you've done something that has caused somebody else to be frustrated, that you go to them. And you know, this is probably one of the most difficult things that we can be called upon to do. Because there's very few of us who like and are comfortable with conflict or the perception of conflict. The consideration of whether or not someone's even going to listen to us or whether they think our opinion's going to be stupid and worthless or they're going to be mad about it. And, you know, there's something that I've touched by in a verse that's written in the book of Moroni, or maybe it's in the book of Ether. Moroni is speaking and he's talking about writing all these things, and he says, he's talking to the Lord, and he says, I'm concerned. Yeah, I'll take a Kleenex. Oh, there's some right here. If I would have just looked around, I'm a trained observer. Thank you, Kim. Willing to bear my burden here. Thank you. It's difficult for us to consider that, to go to each other, to be willing to possibly feel like someone could be frustrated by what we have to say or to think our opinion's dumb or all those. You know, there's all those things that can get in our way. But, you know, the Lord tells us that this is what we're supposed to do. And it's not just so that we reconcile with each other. It's so that the Lord will receive us. You know, and let's understand this. You know, and I've gone through this in my life where there's been some part of me that I've held on to something that I was frustrated with. I'm not gonna say I was angry. I mean, it wasn't like I wanted to go and beat somebody up, but it just kept eating on me and eating on me. And you know, I recognize what that is. That's a lack of being reconciled to one another. And as Christ says here, he says, you know, if we're not willing to reconcile with each other, then he's not going to receive us. We have to fix those things, to be willing to go to one another. And that's a two-way street, that when someone comes to you, you know, we have to be willing to hear what they say. That doesn't mean we have to agree. I found that in my career, that in this, I've had to constantly refine the way that I speak to people and the way that I communicate. Because I'm a big guy, I can be very abrupt and forceful. I can be intimidating. And there's often times in my career I've gotten complaints and I've been in trouble, not because I've done anything wrong, but because someone perceived me the wrong way. And I found that the best thing I can do is to listen to what someone has to say, and even though I may not agree, can I find a way to convey what I'm going to say or what I felt or what I meant a better way? Or sometimes I just need to let somebody just, I didn't like the way you did this. Okay, I apologize. My intention wasn't to make you feel bad or hurt you or anything like that. You know, sometimes it's that easy. But I know that in my life, you know, that there was times when I was holding on to anger, frustration, whatever it was, and I was not receiving the blessing of God, and I knew it. And here the Lord tells us why. So when we allow aught to come between a brother and I, when we allow offenses to fester within us, the Lord's unable to work with us. And so I'm going to ask you this year, and this is, you know, I resolve to do this, that if I have a problem, or if one of you does something that upsets me or frustrates me, or if I perceive that you're upset with me, I'm going to come to you. I want the Lord to work with me and to work with you. And this is difficult, but are we willing to do this? Are we willing to do this? When we see someone who's offended, we've upset someone, are we willing to say, here am I, send me, I'll take care of it? I want us to consider that today. I want to read my last scripture here, and then I'm going to close. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is talking here, and we know the scriptures here. He's talking about putting on the armor of God and all these things, and he's encouraging and exhorting the people to be ready to go out and to face the things that are out in this world. And but then he says in verses 18 through 20, he says, praying always. He's encouraging them. He's telling them, this is what you should be doing. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, Paul here says, on top of all of these things that I've told you, over all this, you know, all these things to do, he says, I want you to be prayerful. Not just for yourself, but for all of the saints. And Paul says, you know, for me. And Paul here was asking them, you know, he was in jail. He was in prison, and he certainly knew that at some point his life was going to be required of him. And he was going to have to still stand at that time for the Lord. And he was praying for him, you know. Or he was asking to pray for him, you know, that I'm going to have strength, that no matter what it is that I face, that I'm going to be able to speak boldly what the Lord tells me I ought to speak, because I am His ambassador. And, you know, I'd ask for you that you pray for me in this. Time after time, I stand up here and I confess some of the struggles I have with being the witness the Lord wants me to at work. Pray for me. There may be opportunities that I miss because I don't have the boldness and the courage to open my mouth. Though I am an ambassador, I speak for the Lord. And I'm going to encourage you this year to be willing to spend time in earnest prayer for your ministry, the ministry who go out and you know, who are going out to new places, that they'll be able to discern and know the things that they're to say and how to say it. For the ministry who are here in this local, who are looking to provide the strength and the encouragement day by day, that you be willing to pray for each other, that you'll have the strength and the courage to be that witness for the Lord, to open your mouth and to speak boldly, because we are all ambassadors of Christ, and we ought to be speaking for Him. So I hope that you consider these things, and that the thoughts that are on my heart have made sense. We understand that, you know, we have to set goals in our life, or else we're just floundering. And I hope that at some point your goal this year is to be more willing, as mine is, to be more willing to seek to accomplish all those things that God asks us to do. How is my coffee cup involved in this? It's absolutely not involved at all. I just felt like sitting up here. This is a really big coffee cup, and I had it this morning because we came here early for a meeting, and maybe it helped keep your attention. But I want to, again, just express how blessed I feel to be a part of this gospel. I had a brother tell me one time, and I hope I conveyed it to him appropriately. He said, you know, sometimes, he says, I get frustrated when I hear people say that they're thankful to have been born in the gospel. He says, because for me, he said, it kind of gives me the impression that there's this feeling of superiority. And I said, brother, that's not what it is. I don't have any enormous story of a conviction in my life, the Lord revealing Him to Himself and or revealing Himself to me and pointing me towards this gospel. No, I grew up in it, and really didn't take advantage of the opportunity at a better life throughout so much of my life, and I feel like how narrowly I almost lost the opportunity to know the Lord, even though I was born into it. And I'm thankful that I was born into this gospel, because I had people striving with me throughout my entire life and encouraging me. And this morning in Sunday school, we were talking about, and now I'm on the 16th chapter, and that seed. You know, and we talked about the fact that sometimes we plant a seed and it just doesn't do anything for a while. But, you know, while that seed was planted within me throughout my life and I really wasn't doing anything, there were brothers and sisters here who were watering me, who were watering that seed, who are continually there and looking to encourage and strengthen. And that's truly one of those important aspects of the gospel, that we're there and we're willing to be a part one of another, so that we can be the person and that spiritual plant, able to bear fruit for the Lord. So consider these things if you would, and I appreciate your attention and your time, and I'll continue to pray that God continues to bless us. Thank you.